The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05 this Monday morning, the 27th, 605-4567 is our phone number. Give us a call and say hello. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And did you survive the weekend?
Survived the weekend. I survived it. Looks like you survived it.
Yeah.
Bad Bob, did you survive it?
Did survive it over on the Wild Coast over the weekend.
Wild Coast. What does that mean?
Well, a rather substantial storm hit the Eureka Trinidad area, and it was winds about 40, gusting up to 40 miles an hour, and some pretty heavy seas out there. And I would not have wanted to be out on a boat and that stuff.
Well, we were slammed into here Saturday, mm-hmm. just slammed in here. But then you looked at the World Series game. They got hardly any rain at all, but
thunderstorms. Yeah,
we got thunderstorms. We got hail. We had power knocked out. I mean, it was big. Thanks. A big shout out to REU for their workers out there getting that power back on. What's the weather look like today?
Looks like it's currently 53, mostly sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy, highs of around 71, north winds around 10 miles per hour, and gusts up to 20 miles per hour today. Tonight, mostly clear with temperatures around 45 to 51 with light winds. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Yes, starting to get chilly outside. They're locally owned and operated where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, now today, we'll get to that in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Giants won 2 games Saturday and Sunday.
Well, you can't just say it like, oh, and by the way.
Oh, by the way. I'm sorry, am I turning things off here, Bob? What's going on?
Okay. And by the way,
the Giants won 2 games this weekend, putting them up 3-2. Yesterday, of course, Mr. Baumgartner. The pitcher for the Giants, what a guy, 25 years old, he pitched the whole game, 9 innings, has the first 9 inning of time a pitcher's pitched 9 innings for a shutout since 2003, 11 years ago, and it was done by the New York Yankees. So not only that, but Just Bob tells me that he has a new record, too, for the lowest earned runs average.
The win moved the Giants within one victory of their third title since 2010, but they'll have to win it in enemy territories. The series shifts back to Kansas City for Game 6 Tuesday, and the Giants clinched each of their last 2 titles on the road, winning in Texas in 2010 and in Detroit in 2012.
You know, frankly, I didn't watch baseball until, for some reason, in 2012, Linda jumped right into it. And then I watched baseball, and we watched 6 games in a row. And then now we watched, I think, one playoff game or something. But then we've been watching the series. And,
you could gorge on sports this weekend, okay?
You could. There was football. There was high school football.
In fact, I feel kind of bloated. Loaded from ball.
College football, and then there was, you know, then pro football, and then the series. But really, we didn't watch. You know, yesterday, you were really busy on some stuff. And, you know, first of all, your eyes, trying to clear your eyes up.
Well, it's been 1 week. Yeah. As of today, I've had an eye infection, and it's just kind of hard. But I do want to do a shout out on it. It's okay, though. I'm able to kind of read through the blur and drive. I mean, but I'm, you know, it's, they're red.
A lot of people had a lot of ideas to help, and some of them have.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Smart, Friday.
Well, tell us about that.
One Safe Place brought in Elizabeth Smart. She spoke at Wind River.
Just a little background. Elizabeth Smart was a young girl. She was just a teenager.
14 years old in Utah.
This guy climbs through the window, puts a knife against her throat, threatens to kill her sister and her parents, and takes her. And then has her for how long?
9 months.
Has her for 9 months. Sexually abuses her, you know, all of this, before she's rescued. And this has been some time. How old is she now? She must be, what, 10 years ago? Is it something like that? 8 or 9 years ago? Because it just seems like it was yesterday when it happened. But listen, what did she do? I mean, what was the message she was talking
about? Well, first of all, she had brought her book, My Story. It was wonderful to hear her speak. She's so articulate. And she had said that she was a basic teenager, kind of goofy. She said, but we were very sheltered. If you said stupid or dumb, that was considered a cuss word in her family. And that she was extremely close to her mother, her mother's love. I think what I took away from that more than anything else was that the love of her family and the love of her mother, of course, loved her father too, but she was very connected to her mother. She says to this day, she calls her mother twice a day, not because she has to, but because she wants to. At 14 years old, again, like Carl said, she was in her bed sleeping with her sister and was held at knife point, went through the house, went in through the back because they lived in a canyon and lots of trails in the canyon back there. And she finally turned to her abductor and said, because she had heard, I guess, other children or other girls that have been raped and killed, and she figured this is it. So she said, if you're going to rape me and kill me, then do it now. She says, you have to understand, I was 14 years old and I still hadn't reached puberty, which is late. That's a late bloomer. 14 years old, still hadn't reached puberty, and I never knew what consummate meant. I've never heard the word. She said, when we were ever allowed to watch TV, it was usually princess movies and, you know, just things that just didn't take us into another thought. And so she had said that when he finally went to the camp was actually in the canyons behind their house. Obviously, you know, dense. It would be like, imagine you're up in Trinity County, you know, behind one of your houses up there. Anyway, so she proceeded to not go into gruesome detail, but enough to let your mind go to what happened to her.
The part where she says, if you're going to rape and kill me, could you do it here? Close to my house, my parents can find me.
So my parents can find me. And twice she asked him that. And that is, he took her. So she was shackled up on her legs, her feet, was shackled up on a wire that was strung up between two trees. And that's how she lived. It was only when they went in for provisions. And she said, there were more times that I could have. People said, well, why didn't you shout out? Why didn't you, you know, let people know it was you? And she said, because I was threatened you were going to kill my family, that my family was going to be killed, and I just couldn't have that. So call it sacrificing. I just didn't. So thank you for the policemen that when they did look again, when they came into town, the two policemen took her aside and said, you know, there's the family of this little girl who's been missing. They miss her so much, and they sure would like to have her home. It fits your description. Her name is Elizabeth Smart. Is that you? And she was away. She was taken aside away from the family, and she said, yes, that's me. So, boom, that's how it began. So thank you for the law enforcement and for the parents. Never gave up hope. Law enforcement kept on continuing, and she was held captive for 9 months. She seems to be so adjusted and so lovely, and one of the things that her mother said, and I think this is important on a Monday morning, here we go, before we take our break. Her mother had said, for 9 months, they took your life. Don't feel bad. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't be unhappy, because the minute that you let that happen, you are giving back to them one more day of your life.
And so she's just gone past it now.
She's gone past it somehow.
And it happened, I think, gosh, when did it happen?
It was 12 years ago.
12 years ago? Okay. Wow. And it just seems like yesterday, because it just seems like you think about it. When you hear about her, it was like yesterday.
Well, she's had this chance now where she speaks, and she kept coming back by saying, all I wanted was my one safe place, my one safe place. And I thought that was fabulous that, you know, we were there for one safe place. And they did bring talk about Camp Hope and these children who had come from abused situations and how they could find their solace at Camp Hope. And she said, coming home to my family, I could come back to my one safe place, and that's all we ever needed. So, all I ever needed. So she's married. And she said, I'm married to a Scottish guy. Yes, he does wear a kilt, or he wore a kilt at our wedding or something like that. But she said, and I did choose him. I did say yes to him.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great weekend with all the things going on. And then, of course, on the weekends and getting all these things done, and then finishing up, of course, with our getting ready for this week.
So the World Series over the weekend. I mean,
getting everything and getting ready to do it. So, of course, you know, here we're talking about, I guess, our Sleep Number bed. And our Sleep Number bed is
spent a lot of time in it this weekend.
You try to get as much sleep as you can and rest, because we're starting up. But last night we both slept for 8 hours.
Well,
straight.
We all
didn't even move. Sleep. You know what? Sleep Number. You can talk about it and you can see the ads, but until you use it, it's just unbelievable. Because before we decided to do this, we tried it out. My Sleep Number setting is 40. And Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. But, you know, before you go on and you say, hey, look, before we say we are standing behind this bed or this product or whatever it is, we just don't let it, we just don't say anything. We have to try it out. We have to make sure. And I tell you what, we've been so happy that Sleep Number, that we were able to do that. Made in America, guaranteed, Consumer Reports number one bed. Everybody we know that has Sleep Number is so happy with it. And so how much is a good night's sleep worth? Well, frankly, it's worth more than you'll ever pay for it. So once you make that decision, you want to go with it. And now with the new Sleep IQ technology that Sleep Number has in their new beds, well, actually senses how you're sleeping. And if you're moving around a lot, we'll give you an idea about maybe perhaps changing your setting via an app that just sends you a text message. And where can you get your Sleep Number beds? At the Sleep Number store, of course. Over in the Target Shopping Center. Now they've got Sleep Number C2 queen-size mattresses with Sleep IQ technology starting at just $999.98. Again, Sleep Number named Best of 2014 by Consumer Reports, among other things. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back. As you know, as we said, we were going to be debating the district attorney of Humboldt County was going to be calling in here, and we were going to be debating Proposition 47. Not so fast. We'll be right back and explain why.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the city council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California, 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it.
Good morning, welcome back to KCNR on this Monday.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Monday morning here on KCNR 1460. Thank you for choosing to be with us. Yeah, we're going to be talking lots of politics. You know, November 4th is
week
just
from tomorrow.
Wow. It's just amazing.
This week we have the Reading City Council. Reading City Council. Everyone is running except Francie. We couldn't work out a date for her. I think she's out of the country right now. And the Anderson City Council is going to be with us starting this morning too at 7:30. And then we have the propositions we're going to be talking about, and you know, all of this before next Tuesday. And one of the things that that happened was I asked, you know, a couple of weeks ago, because I saw where, you know, the ACLU is coming out in favor of Proposition 47, which is the one that turns loose, you know, that reduces felonies to misdemeanors. And then takes the misdemeanors and turns those guys out of jail. And how they've changed what the felonies are. Well, the felonies are anything like somebody comes into your house and steals a gun. As long as it's worth less than $990, that's not a felony anymore. Date rape drugs. As long as you know, if you have possession of date rape drugs, that's not a felony anymore. That's just a misdemeanor. All those things that you could have been felonies. Now, to make it worse is everybody's in jail right now with those felonies, can now go back into the court system and have it reduced. Well, and talking to an expert on this last week on the show, they said it could be like 40,000 people coming back into the system, which will crash the system for getting their charges reduced. And they're looking at probably up to 10,000 people that we're going to release back onto the streets. Now, if this sounds like AB 109, except now they're really felons. They were, not misdemeanors. These men and women coming back on the streets have been in jail for a while. They're going to come out with, again, no jobs, no support system except what the state gives. And as we've been talking about it, the state's been cutting back on the AB 109 funding. And if Tom sends too many people, they cut it back even more. If he sends too many more people to jail, to the state prisons, not that he does that, but you know, the county does that. So all of this is just bad. So I asked Doug Bennett, who heads up the ACLU here, hey, Doug, you want to come on? Let's just discuss it. And Doug said, sure, because Doug is an articulate, thoughtful, intelligent guy who is also a man with common sense. He said, well, look, he says, the ACLU, the big ACLU of Northern California, says they want to send their own guy in, some heavy hitter. And I said, you're good. And he says, well, they want to send it in. So I've been on the phone off and on and emailing for the last week, 10 days, to get their representative on. And it turns out he's the DA of Humboldt County because they want to put somebody up that, hey, you know, this guy's a law and order guy. Well, okay, it doesn't mean that he's right. So anyway, he was all set up for this morning, 7 o'clock, 7 to 7:30. Guess what? I got an email Saturday, maybe it was Sunday, that said, sorry, he can't be here. You know, he can't be here. So I'm sorry that the DA from Humboldt County couldn't be here. And the fact is that this was really a great proposition to debate. So, Mr. DA, how do you really feel about the fact that they're going to be releasing thousands of men and women felons back on the streets here, and we're already at the situation where we can't lock up the ones we have? Your answer to that? Your answer? Your answer. Oh, that's right. He's not here. Why isn't he here? Because how do you answer something like that? You know, they kept asking me, is he going to be beat up by the people calling in? Is he going to be abused? I mean, yeah, it was just ridiculous. I mean, who in 5 years has ever been beat up here? Bob, Linda, who has ever been beat up here on our show that we have not protected from, from people that, it's only happened. People aren't rude on this show. They may get intense in questioning with each other and talk, but there's never been any name calling or anything.
Guess who I would regard as being slightly to the left of Mao Zedong have admitted that you are very fair.
Well, we are fair, and we are fair here. But then okay, here's another question. What about the money? What about AB-109? You say, oh, it's not related. Well, it is. What about AB-109, Mr. DA, when we've got all this and are cutting the money back from that? Shouldn't we expect that too? Excuse me? I didn't hear your answer. Oh, of course not, because you're not here.
Okay, so a few.
I guess the debate's over. I win.
No, I mean, I just want to share with you, you know, what we think about, you know, passing bills and if they're going to be a positive circumstance or situation for Americans who are legally here. So this kind of segues into my story I wanted to share with you this morning. My parents live in Placer County, you know, up in Granite Bay, and my dad was talking about how there was a killing spree that happened, and they were on the freeway coming back on Auburn Folsom Road when they saw these, you know, SWAT cars behind them. Well, then they started to proceed to tell us what had happened. And, of course, you know, it hit the news. But a man suspected of killing two deputies. He wasn't suspected. He did kill them. During a shooting rampage in Northern California, was deported twice to Mexico and had a drug conviction, federal authorities said Saturday. The suspect shooter told Sacramento County Sheriff's investigators that he was a 34-year-old. It was a 30-year-old, 40-year-old guy from Salt Lake. His fingerprints matched the biometric records. And, I mean, this guy just went through.
He's got a record. He's got it all.
Killing, stealing. People's lives.
Shot innocent people, and they don't, you know, and he was here illegally. Illegally been deported twice, and he's back again. Yeah, we're keeping those borders safe.
I would point out, Linda, that at this point in the framework of our legal system, he is the accused. He has not been convicted of this crime.
Okay.
They said a man suspected of killing.
Okay. And then they're still trying to figure out why he did it. He went up to his brother and got money from his brother last week and threatened him to give back the guns his brother's been keeping for him. So his brother's been keeping guns illegally. And is his brother here illegally? Why don't you just sweep up everybody that's involved with this thing? And, you know, I would say deport them, send them back, except it does no good. Let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Carl. How you doing?
We're just peachy here, buddy.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could go off subject for a minute.
Sure.
Okay, so I just heard that commercial, yes, on Measure B, to because the bridge used to be funded by taxpayers, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just thought, you know, instead of raising taxes to get some new cops, why don't we just take that money that used to be taxed for the bridge and hire a couple cops?
The money that used to be taxed, you mean the money they used to give to the Turtle Bay and the bridge? The $275,000 or something like that?
Yeah, that's the commercial I just heard. Turtle Bay used to be taxed by the taxpayers, but get the hotel in there, it's not going to be taxed. So how about if we use that extra money, get a couple cops in there instead of raising the taxes?
Well, you know, the question is, too, is that Well, you know, the reason they stopped giving it is because we got hit so hard and all the money went down. So Turtle Bay was cut off from all the money from the city. Several years ago. I mean, it's not like they're still giving them the money.
Right.
It's, you know, they were cut off, what, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So they're 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. So they make no money from the city. City gives them no money. So that's, I think, the background behind that. Otherwise, yeah. Otherwise, yes, absolutely. I mean, we only need to take a look. The other question asked, Jim, is how come the city council hasn't looked at, again, going back into and cutting like 4 or 5% again, and immediately hiring cops that way? I mean, you know, from the other divisions. I mean, parks and recreation, yes, they're really nice to have and all this, but and all these other places, could they cut 4% from them and then use that money to hire police immediately? Another question that we'll never know because they refuse to vote on it.
Carl, you're absolutely right. There's ways you can do it without raising the taxes. Give me a break. I mean, they've got plenty of money coming in. If they can just figure out what to do with it.
You would if it's your business, right?
What's that?
If it was your business, you'd find a way, right?
Oh, I'd find a way. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks for taking my call, Carl.
You bet. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We've got Deborah Hopkins here. It's running for Anderson City Council. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones. And it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and/or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A Ballot Committee.
Hi, my name is Kristen Trader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Trader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Trader for City Council 2014.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:34 in the morning, 53 degrees out there today. It's going to be nice out there. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's getting colder and colder. So, of course, Espresso Joe's with your coffee is the place to go to. Great prices, pounds of coffee for sale there. Great Christmas presents. Walk next door to the finest humidor in the state, right there at Tobacco and Brew, right here in River City. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great people down there. We are doing all the candidates this week and early next week before the election. And we're running for Anderson City Council is Debbie Hopkins. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You've got a smile for you there. Debbie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in Anderson about 20 years, Shasta County about 30. I've been very involved in my community. And 4 years ago, I sort of had a few people tell me I should run for council, and I did, and somehow I won.
So you're running again.
I am.
Didn't learn your lesson, did you?
Apparently not.
Now, do you get paid the magnificent sum of like nothing like our city council people
do?
Oh,
you know, I believe as mayor I get about, after taxes, it's about $31 per meeting.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of money.
Well, does it pay for your gas?
Not really, no.
Well, according to your profile, you are part owner of a real estate company.
Correct.
And you are president of the Anderson Exchange Club.
I've past president.
Okay. A member of the advisory committee for the Anderson Teen Center.
Yes. We haven't had a meeting in some time, but I believe I'm still on the
committee. You're not on those weekly meeting things then, right?
No.
And let's just say this, because we love them and we think that's a big shout out, that you are on the Reading Rancheria Community Fund Board.
Yes. I love that job.
Wow.
We love those
that
people.
Is an yeah. honor.
Yeah, Gary's going to be my co-host on Wednesday here.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Okay. What are some of the problems facing Anderson?
Actually, we've been doing very well of late. We've recently hired 3 new officers, and that was being proactive. It's not because we have a tremendous amount of crime. It's because we'd like to see it stay safe. Our roads are in good shape. We've got new business moving into town, and new businesses being built.
Could you elaborate on that, please? You know,
which
when you
one?
Say new businesses.
Right now, there's the Tractor Supply is breaking ground, if they haven't already. We have a new ARCO AMPM being built below Walmart. Some of our empty storefronts are being filled with small local businesses.
Proposition to raise taxes hit Anderson. I know it passed.
It did pass, and with I
can't even think of the word that when I'm talking about the measure that passed.
Right.
To raise taxes, needed a 50, and that a percentage was going to go to the police.
50%.
A percentage was going to go to the general fund.
Yes, yeah, I think that's probably why it passed, knowing that 50% would be dedicated to law enforcement.
And did it?
Yes.
Okay, it's at least 50%.
Yes, and that's why we have 3 new officers coming on board.
Okay,
job well done.
Thank
well,
you.
The other part to it too is the other 50% went, or the other, you know, I guess 50% went into the
general fund.
General fund. Okay.
Okay. The question. Let me just come right down to it. You're mayor. You've been involved. You've got so many. You know, you're doing so many things. Why are you running again?
I just feel it's my civic duty.
Okay, that's good. That's a good answer. Well, I mean, just.
Why do you want to? What do you want to accomplish this? This next
we want to keep our momentum going. We're headed in an upward direction, and I'd like to keep that going. I want to be part of the team that puts Anderson on the map as far as economic growth and public safety.
I know that the hiring a new police has been is obviously a big help, and I wish we could figure out a way to do that. Here, our measure is tied to a 2/3 vote. However, which might be a little bit hard because mm-hmm. you all barely squeaked by.
Correct.
In fact, it looked like for a long time in early polling or early voting returns that you weren't going to make it.
Correct.
So, but it did. How many votes did it
win? Oh, gosh, I don't remember by how many. It wasn't many.
It was like a landslide of like 50 votes or something like that.
It wasn't many. Yeah. True.
Why do you think people voted for that?
Simply because of the 50% dedicated to public safety. I think with all the AB 109 releases mm-hmm. that people were concerned that we might not be as safe as we've grown accustomed to being.
Would Anderson be open to having, say, housing a facility there for offenders in Anderson area?
That would be a council decision, not mine alone for sure. That's something that would require an awful lot of thought and research.
Okay, because I know it's been brought up before about bringing in a prisons, either the state or privately owned. and even temporary facilities.
They certainly bring a lot of income into a community, but it's not without its negative aspects.
It brings in also the everything that goes along with felons.
Correct.
The measures that that are affecting the state, like 47, we just talked about 47, about the releasing or changing felons to misdemeanors, felonies to misdemeanors. Do you are those things that y'all even get into?
Not really. However, it's something we all need to be concerned about, it because it will affect us all. You know, whether or not it's something we actually talk about or discuss because it's not on a city level doesn't mean we're not concerned. However, I don't know how we go about doing anything about it.
I think it's concerned. Just organize, or, you know, has AB 109 impacted on you all?
Of course. Of course.
Are you you're finding that there's more crime? Do you know what your crime rates are? Did it jump as they did here?
It mostly car theft. Okay. I don't have numbers in my head for that, but that would definitely be the one that sticks out first and foremost, would be car theft.
Do you have many illegal camps down in the Anderson area?
We don't have many, but we do have some, and our police are very proactive in that as well.
How do they? How does your police force handle that?
They'll take a day and they'll go out and, for lack of a better word, raid the camps, thereby letting the folks know in the camps, these are the different organizations available to you for help if you'd like it, and this is where you can go. But this is not your property and you can't stay here.
All right, and then they give them, what, 7 days or whatever?
I think they make them leave immediately.
Really? Oh, okay.
With the property owner's permission, of course.
Okay, if it's private property, they can ask them to leave then. Okay, so, all right. Because around here, if it's public property, do you have much on public property that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Well, really, I mean, obviously it's hitting you all, but not at the level that we have.
Well, you know, it's just population. We have a far smaller populace, so of course we have, in comparison, we have smaller problems.
Has violent crime gone up?
I don't believe it has. The last crime report we received from the police, violent crime had not gone up. It was mostly the theft and robbery type crimes.
Okay.
How many seats are available this election?
Two.
Three, and three people are running.
Correct.
Now, what you're reelected, and let's. What would you? What is your? What's your primary objective? What's your first?
Public safety is always the primary objective, and then business development.
Well, when you say, okay, you've hired three more police, you're going to hire more police?
Just to keep it maintaining. We're just now with the three police. We're where we should be with our force.
When you say where we should be, you mean by number of officers per the number of residents?
Yes, number of sworn officers.
Okay.
That brings us up to speed where we should be. And we need to maintain that staying level like that.
Mm-hmm. How many you also have? I think I don't know if you've changed this, but the city's always had austerity-type planning for their the city workers in the sense of buying used trucks and using privatization. Do y'all still privatize some of your some of the work y'all do?
Sure. Yeah, not everything can be done with staff. As you probably know, as most cities, we're bare bones with staff. So when a project comes up or something like that we need to more hands and bodies rather than hire someone that we can't afford through the long term, we will hire out for a particular job.
In what particular areas?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, things like electricians, plumbing, sewers, anything like that?
Sure, most of our stuff is done in-house, especially where you're talking the sewage treatment plant and electrical. Mm-hmm. We have some very skilled workers in that department, so that rarely has any need. It's more like the building and planning, I think, when we have a particular project that needs extra help. Like when we did the roundabout, that needed some staffing that we weren't going to put on full-time but needed part-time or per project.
Okay. When we had our tour of the Anderson City Hall and the all the things that were going on, one of the things that was very impressive to me was as much, you know, buying used trucks instead of new trucks.
Correct.
Which saved thousands of dollars, which I thought, that seems like a good idea. Mm-hmm. But it was also the amount of privatization you used, of people coming in that you could hire just not off the street, but you know, that you didn't have to pay the retirement and
right,
all this.
Right.
Are you looking at privatizing more here this year?
It's going to depend on what comes up. what kind of projects come up, if it's a it's going to be an as needed kind of thing.
So you're not looking at privatizing certain areas like garbage collection or waste management or any of those then?
No, not at this point.
Okay. We're here with Debbie Hopkins, and she's mayor of Anderson.
Correct.
And is running for re-election. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott.
Drought, excessive regulations, Southern California trying to grab our water. We need strong leaders in office willing to take a stand. We need Doug LaMalfa. A fourth-generation family farmer, Doug LaMalfa is a common-sense conservative who represents our local values. Doug LaMalfa knows what's important, and he won't back down to the government regulators and big spenders in Washington. Doug is fighting for more water storage and less Washington red tape. He's working to stop wasteful spending, like the LA to San Francisco bullet train, and slash the debt that threatens future generations. And Doug is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Deliver a strong message by sending the right person to Congress. Doug LaMalfa.
This is Doug LaMalfa. I'm fighting for more water storage, less debt, and to protect our way of life. I approve this message, and I'd be honored to represent you in Washington, D.C.
Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
This is Carl Bott. Join Crown Motors and their salute to the veterans. From October 27th through Veterans Day, November 11th, there'll be a 10% discount for all parts and labor in their service department for our veterans with proof of service. Additionally, on November 10th and 11th, $100 from every car purchase will be donated to two local veterans organizations. Linda and I will be at Crown Motors November 10th and 11th from 7 to 9 a.m. to celebrate their salute to the veterans. Crown Motors and CrownMotorsReading.com. Crown Motors, a salute to those who have served.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now, using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the city council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this Monday morning.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You know, the after getting hit with the thunderstorm we got hit with Saturday and watching the temperature drop, it's 53 right now. Is your heating system ready to go for the winter? Has the filters been cleaned? Are the ducts open? Are the ducts even still attached to the heating system? Because you haven't used it in a while. Why don't you call Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642 and ask Martin and his people to come out and take a look at it. Make sure that heater is working. They offer guarantees and warranties. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of heating or cooling system you may have, because they can work on all of them. That's right. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service for emergencies from Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air.
Well, we know November 4th is right around the corner. And, you know, folks, I know the listeners here. The listeners that listen to KCNR 1460 all vote. I'd be shocked if you listen to the station and you didn't vote. But we like to wear little stickers. We go in person. We like the whole feeling of voting in
drawing
person.
Drawing that line on our
feeling. Drawing like that line.
Personal.
Personal. With us this morning is the mayor of Anderson, Debbie Hopkins. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know it's a big deal to have somebody come from Anderson early in the morning, but, you know, you're on the campaign trail. And the question is, we have several that are coming in here, but why did you move to Anderson?
Basically, it was where I bought my first house, and I was working in Anderson at the time, managing one of the outlet stores, so it was just a move of convenience, really. And then I got attached.
Yeah. What do you think of what's happening, speaking of, and that's great, but, you know, what is happening with the outlet stores?
Well, they definitely could use some more tenants.
Yeah, we lost Polo.
Yeah, that was a huge deal to lose Polo. And, you know, as far as what they're doing to fill it up, I'm not seeing a lot of progress. They're, of course, out-of-area owners. And I know our city manager has met with them on several occasions to see how we could help with, you know, filling those vacancies. And I know the manager is doing everything she can to fill the vacancies. So whether it be just a lack of interest, a need for a facelift, or the rents, it's just it's not filling up as fast as we'd like it to.
Yeah, well, thank God for Mary's Pizza Shack and cinemas, because that always makes it thrive in that area.
Absolutely.
I think their signage could be a lot better.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just dated, too. It really could use a facelift.
Well, even, you know, because if people are driving by, they're doing 75 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they look over there. I mean, they're past the exit. They need signage out there that says this is what we have here.
Right.
You know, like you see at other places. That pulls them off right there as they're coming through. But you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, they do have a couple of billboards. But, you know, it has to be something you're interested in to pull off the freeway.
Well, we have throughout the week here, we have all of the, what do you want to call it?
Candidates.
Yeah, I was going to say politicians, but I meant candidates that are running for city council in Reading, as well as the three that are running in Anderson. So we really appreciate you being with us this morning. Let's get out in the last few minutes that we have. We've got 10 minutes left of who you are, what it means to run again, now that you're mayor, and what, like, your platform is.
Well, basically, my platform is we're a team. As a city, we function as a team. I won't tell you that I did or I brought or I'm responsible for, because no single person in politics is responsible for anything on any level, I don't believe. I'm part of a council of five, and those five people make a decision based on what staff and the community give them for information. They do a lot of research, and from that, we make decisions. And then those decisions are carried out by, again, staff and the community. So I think we're all just part of a team. And as a team, we all want the same thing. What's best for our community and our citizens in Anderson?
You said that part of what you wanted to do was for public safety. What are your specifics on doing that?
Well, definitely maintain and keep our guys trained well, keep their equipment up to speed, and keep our staff at the level it should be. And proactive policing. We have neighborhood watch programs. We have school safety officers. We have community service officers. We have a good volunteer program. And those things are all proactive. And that's what I'd like to see us maintain.
Do you give a percentage of your law enforcement or public safety funds to the county for housing of prisoners?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question.
I'm just wondering.
That's a very good question, and I'll find out.
I mean, if 10% of the people that they pick up are there in there.
I believe part of our sales tax goes to the county.
The 50% of, at least 50% of that tax increase was to go to the police. It said at least. You could raise that, couldn't you? From that 50 to 60?
Well, certainly, because our police are paid out of our public,
General funds?
The general funds anyway. So basically they'll get that 50%, but they're paid from so the same pot. So that could easily be more than that, certainly.
So has tax revenue gone up in the last 2 or 3 years for Anderson?
Yes, I believe it went up 3% the last year. What am I trying
Fiscal
to say?
Year?
Fiscal year, yes.
Okay, your vision. We've got a few minutes left. What's your vision for Anderson?
I like Anderson to maintain its small-town appeal and its small-town friendliness, as well as keep the small business growth on an upward swing. Our planning to be smart. We don't want to grow like some crazy octopus thing. You know, we'd like to keep the growth smart and bring in businesses that will hopefully employ a lot of people at a decent wage. That's what our big effort is right now. We've got the possible annexation of the Roseburg area, and that's a prime property and
where's
a prime location.
Where's the Roseburg
area? The mill. It's just east of 5 on the outlets.
Okay.
The outlets are here. And
oh, okay.
That property's right there where the roundabout was built.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
So that's got a lot of potential.
Now, y'all have really given Reading a run for its money about bringing in businesses here. You're going for the county courthouse and all that, I believe, weren't you?
Oh, that was some years ago.
Some years ago, yeah. But you know, you all made the run at it when this we first got here,
right?
And you've always been has a reputation for being business friendly down.
Yes, we Anderson. Very much want to be able to work with people. We want business. We want new business. We want continued business. We want successful business.
How do you make it easier? How come people like doing business down in Anderson?
I think a planning department, first and foremost, they're very willing to work with people. It's not just a yes-no rubber stamp department. They'll sit down with you. They'll work with you. What's wrong? What's right? How can we help? That's our biggest asset, I believe.
Okay. What about the permitting fees that you have?
Our permitting fees are below probably what they should be. They're lower than surrounding areas and for cities of our size.
Okay. Well, Deb, it sounds like that everything's under control down in Anderson.
Oh, we're trying.
Best to you on the at the polling booths on November 4th.
What do you see the biggest problem is going to be in the next 4 years?
Definitely the homeless situation and the AB 109 situation, I would think, would be our biggest concerns that we need to really stay on top of.
AB 109 and the homeless.
Correct.
Do y'all have specific plans or do you have areas there that the homeless can go to in Anderson?
Not in Anderson. We don't have a specific location. We do have areas they can go for assistance as far as food or mm-hmm. help with gas and that sort of thing, but we don't have a housing facility.
Okay, no housing, nothing like a Good News Rescue Mission.
Correct,
there.
But we definitely, that's where we guide folks to.
Do you take people up to Reading and drop them off?
I have never heard of that happening, no.
Well, I'm just
you
wondering.
Know what? That was smug, Carl.
I'm just wondering. I mean, you said you point them in that direction.
Well, we tell them
police,
that those services are available.
Do your police drive them up here and drop them off?
No, they do not.
Okay. Just wondered, okay? I've heard that. I mean, you know, if you were in maybe I would do that. Pay one a ride or something.
All right, it's your duty.
To San Francisco. Okay.
It's your duty as a citizen right now to look into the different candidates that are running for Anderson City Council as well as the Reading City Council. So we're very happy to have Debbie Hopkins with us this morning. That's mayor.
That's what? Right. And you got like 3 minutes left. So tell us why people should vote for you.
Well, I have Anderson's best interest at heart on every level. I live there. I work there. I own a business there. I'm very involved in my community there. I will listen to you. I do not not return phone calls. I will return your phone call as quickly as possible. I answer emails, and I go to the source. If you have an issue, I will take that up with whatever party or department that is involved with whatever your current concern is, and I will do my best to make Anderson is as good a place to live for you as it is for me.
Okay. Debbie, thanks.
All right.
Thank you both very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
You know what? She's smiling now. She walked yeah. in.
It's because I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go? Oh,
like,
thanks a lot.
It wasn't that painful, was it?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Debbie Hopkins. And you know what? The this week, like tomorrow, I think Baron Browning's coming in, and then on Wednesday, Norma Comnick, or we may flip those. So everybody can hear us talk to them and ask them essentially the same questions. And, of course, Michael DeQuisto is going to be with us today. You know, Mike's been running a pretty interesting
There's a heated
campaign.
Run happening in Reading.
You know, here's what I really hope is, and I don't probably for you too, Debbie, but is after this election's over, that we all get back to business, we all get together again and start kind of moving forward in a sense that of doing it to help our communities, Anderson and Reading, and to have Shasta County move forward.
I agree 100%.
This seems like it's been a pretty divisive campaign. I hope we can get it all back together again here. So I'm sure that we can. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we come back. We're going to have Mike DeQuisto on tomorrow. We've taken a little break from that. Francie couldn't be here tomorrow. And the Wednesday, we've got Brent Weaver. And you know, I've got to take out and see who we've got. And then maybe it's Christian Schrader on Thursday. And then Friday, Michael Quinn. And then next Monday, Patrick Jones. So all of this. We'll be right back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Thank you.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says when Casey Hickox has some time to reflect that she'll understand why she was quarantined. Hickox is a nurse who returned to the United States after working with Ebola patients in Africa. She has complained about her treatment in New Jersey and has even talked about suing the state. Health officials say that she is now being released after being symptom-free for 24 hours. The White House, meanwhile, remains at odds with governors in both New York and New Jersey over their new policy. More on that from White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
State leaders in New York and New Jersey support 21-day quarantines for medical workers returning from West Africa. However, the Obama administration and the nation's top infectious disease expert warn that such restrictions are unnecessary. The administration considers the policy not grounded in science, and a senior administration official says those concerns were conveyed to New York Governor Cuomo and New Jersey Governor Christie.
That is White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting also at SRNnews.com. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been struggling in early trading. Right now it's down by just about 8 points. Meanwhile, pending home sales were up slightly in September, as SRN's Linda Kenyon reports.
The National Association of Realtors says its seasonally adjusted pending home sales index rose 0.3% over the past month to 105. The index remains 0.5 percentage point below its 2013 average, although 1% higher than a year ago. Tight credit and price increases through the middle of 2013 helped to limit buying activity.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. Another drop in gasoline prices, and as always, it's tied to crude oil.
If we assume some stability in the price of crude, then this may be near the bottom for the U.S. Pump price crash. There may be a few more pennies if retailers are able to pass through a bit more.
That's analyst Troby Lundberg, and this is SRN News.
The event you've been waiting for is here. Lumber Liquidators, third annual fall flooring yard sale. It's your chance to get first quality, full warranty, direct from the mill flooring at unbelievable closeout prices. Like oak laminate for an incredible 19 cents a square foot. And pre-finished three-quarter inch solid maple for just $149. Plus beautiful bamboo for 63% less than other stores. Take advantage of our 20 years of savings with 20-month special financing. And get even more unheard of flooring deals in our stores. Fall flooring yard sale is Thursday through Monday only. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Voters turning out today in Kiev. International observers monitoring Ukraine's parliamentary election have hailed the vote as a step forward in building democratic standards despite the unrest in eastern Ukraine. According to people commenting at site like this man who cast his ballot, that things seem to be going smoothly as far as the vote. A Mexican man living in a Denver church basement has claimed sanctuary to avoid deportation. Kate Burns is a member of the First Unitarian Society of Denver and says the man's living there as all as they're part of getting him amnesty.
We welcomed Arturo Hernandez Garcia into our church, and our attorney notified all of the appropriate authorities that Arturo would reside here at First Unitarian for the immediate future.
As Kate Burns with the First Unitarian Society of Denver, and the group there officially welcomed Hernandez, who has now taken up residence in the church basement. This is SRN News. More sad news in Washington State as one of the wounded teens from last week's high school shooting in Washington State has died. Here's SRN's Andrew Stewart.
Officials at Providence Regional Medical Center Everett say 14-year-old Gia Soriano died Sunday night. This raises the death toll from the school cafeteria shooting to three. Another girl died during Friday's shooting by a popular freshman at Marysville-Pilchuck High School north of Seattle. Meanwhile, three other students remain hospitalized, two in critical condition, one in serious condition.
That is SRN's Andrew Stewart reporting. It's something anybody who's ever read postings on a controversial subject already know. The Internet can be a rough place. That reality is being confirmed by a study that shows harassment is a common part of online life. The report comes from the Pew Research Center and says 3/4 of American adults who use the Internet have seen harassment. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Monday, October the 27th. We're like a week and a day away from the election. Our phone numbers here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing, honey?
Good morning. Currently 53 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have a mostly sunny day with temperatures around 71, 10 miles wind with gusts around 20 miles. Boy, I'll tell you what, over the weekend it got 60, up to 60 miles per hour. Did you hear? It was like, pow.
You know, frankly, we saw stuff laying out in the street that I had never seen before. One was a penguin. There was a penguin rolling down our street.
Our pink flamingo bit the dust. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 40 to 51 with light winds. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Locally owned and operated, they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Hey, this week, coming up soon. In a couple of weeks, of course, is Veterans Day weekend. Well, Crown Motors has a salute to the veterans, and it starts, in fact, today, from now, October 27th through November 11th. 10% off all parts and service and labor from at Crown Motors from now through November 11th for all of our veterans with proof, of course, of being a veteran. You just can't go down there. But as we all carry proof, and it's available, the proof of service. And then on November 10th and 11th, $100 from every car sold will be donated to two of our local veterans organizations. And this is just Crown Motors' way of saluting our veterans. Starting with the parts and services that begin today through the 11th, and then the money donated from every sale. And we'll be down there. Linda and I will be down there November 10th and 11th. The Marine Corps birthday, of course, is the 10th. And we'll be down there with a bunch of Marines being unruly. And then the 11th, we'll have veterans from every war, from World War II up through Iraqi freedom, will be with us on the 11th there as we thank them for their service and honor their service. Okay, let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's really kind of.
Oh, she doesn't. Wait a minute. I've got. She doesn't have her earphones on here. She's got them now. Okay.
Good morning. Good
morning. You guys had a busy weekend. That's good.
Heck yeah.
We did. Well, you know what? It's running around and stuff. I know you guys were real busy.
Oh man, we've been. You know, you mentioned the other day that I hadn't called or talked to you. I'm telling you, buddy, it's been swamped. But we're a little freer this week. We can take a breath.
Well, you know what? As soon as we get a breath here, I want to come on. We need to do a large catch-up on everything that's happened with the state of Jefferson.
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. That would be great. Anyway, tonight at the Tea Party at 2570 Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church, we are going to have both sides of Measure A, the folks that are for it and the folks that are against it. And then we'll have question and answer. And I really want to encourage the public to come because this is something to where you really can get filled in on what's going on here. I think both sides have a really interesting argument. And we're going to show both sides like we attempt to do all the time. I think it'll be good, and we'll keep law and order in there, because people have to remember that the meeting that we have is a private meeting. Therefore, if we ask people to leave, they need to leave. So people are, you know, there's been always some concern sometimes at some of these emotional issues to where people get really rowdy. And but, you know, just like what you guys said this morning about this DA from Humboldt County, you know, most of the people have been very, very cordial over the last 5 years when they come to our meetings. You know, maybe a couple of people will speak out now and then, but pretty much it's been, you know, pretty it's been pretty good. People are really very civil, you know. I'm amazed that guy did come on your program.
Well, you know what? Because we've been going back and forth with messages and phone calls and everything for several days, and then in this weekend say you can't make it.
Yeah, wow, that's just...
Well, you know, the whole thing on this is the moderator, and I know y'all, I think it's either you, Terry, or whoever it is, if somebody stands up or they start booing or first because they don't like what somebody says, you kind of just need to jump on it right away and just say, hey, look, here's the rules, guys. And if you don't like it, you can leave. And then I've noticed that we've never really had a problem after that.
Yeah, and, you know,
moderating things.
Yeah, I mean, most people are, you know, they just want to hear the information and ask their questions, and we don't like people standing up and making statements. You ask a question so we can get as many questions in as possible to be fair, and I believe that's very fair.
Okay, so that's tonight starting at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, 2570 Bonnie View Road, Destiny Fellowship Church, Measure A, both sides.
All right, thanks a lot, Terry.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, we're here with Michael DeQuisto.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. Thanks for having me again.
All right. So here we are towards the end of the trail. We're at the end of the campaign trail.
Are you tired of seeing me yet?
No. You know what? You know what? Here's and truthfully, and both Linda and I feel like this, is we value what every one of you all bring to the table. I realize there's been some things said, not by us, but by other candidates, but we value what, and of course bloggers, we value what every one of y'all brings to the table, I think. Right on?
Absolutely, and I think it's wonderful that that people like Mike DeQuisto will put themselves out there. It's you know, you put yourself up as a target because you have a passion to move forward, thinking that you can be one on city council, a member of city council that can make changes. So congratulations and welcome to the show this morning.
Well, thank you. And I do want to say on behalf of myself and my whole committee and team, and on behalf of the other candidates, too, we all thank you for doing what you do. We have spent lots of hours on the air here, and it's a great public service that you do provide so we can give information out to the voters.
Well, you know, on the front page of our website, you can just – anybody can go to the front page, and it's got you all there. They can just go back and listen to the archives if they really want to find out what you stand for, because I think during your time here that you have an hour more or less to say what you stand for and to answer questions from people. And some of the questions aren't always easy, but I think you get a true value of listening to you in your own words, even more so than a lot of times the debates or the forums.
Well, I've actually told people to come to this website, and don't get mad at me, but when the League of Women Voters put on the hearing, the forum at the Cascade, and they recorded it, it's about 2.5 hours. And I've told people that gives a pretty fair impression, and you get to see the candidates on camera and answer a number of questions. And it's a way to make an informed choice, and that's really what it's all about, is the voters should make an informed choice for who they want to have represent them.
Right. So if you have a call for Michael DeQuisto and you want to ask a question, I mean, now's a perfect time, 605-4567. I'm sure the lines are open, and that's what you do when you're running or if you take seat, is that you field questions. Ask. That's what this is about.
I've had thousands of questions during the course of the campaign.
Okay, well, let's start with this one then. Just as Terry was, they're debating Measure A. What side do you fall on this? Yes or A or no on A? This is the marijuana, growing marijuana. The a yes means you want to continue with the Shasta County statutes, which outlaws growing outside, and no means you're against it and you want to be able to grow.
I would be in favor of the current ordinance to outlaw the outdoor grows.
So yes on A.
I would be a yes on A.
Okay. And we're going to take a break early here because rest of them we're going to get into business, the $1 million you can pull out of the fund, which seems to be a big fight. Your plans for public safety and drawing businesses in here. Bill Nagel, of course, was on last Wednesday. I don't know if you heard him, but talked about how the permitting process worked, et cetera, et cetera. Our guest is Michael DeQuisto, running for Reading City Council, and we'll be back in a second.
I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Shasta County supervisors tried to pass a ban on outdoor medical marijuana cultivation. This new proposed law will be on the November 4th ballot, and it's called Measure A. Measure A will force all patients to store their marijuana in a specifically designed and permitted detached accessory structure, costing the patient over $12,000 to build. Without this building, Measure A will make both the outdoor cultivation and storage of medical marijuana a misdemeanor charge for thousands of otherwise legal patients in Shasta County. Vote no on Measure A. With Measure A, the county and/or sheriff's department could inspect your property without a warrant, solely on the merit of suspicion of cultivation. Measure A is a violation of constitutional rights. Vote no on Measure A. Protect your rights and register to vote before October 20th, then show up to the polls to vote. Vote no on Measure A. This ad was paid for by the Shasta County Citizens No on Measure A Ballot Committee.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
By the way, shout out to Bob Belongi, our producer who always makes me happy with thoughtful music that you know, I guess there's a lot that goes into selecting songs. These aren't automatic, you know. He's got to look them up and pull them down. Does that say I want to slit your throat?
No, that's what you said to me earlier today.
Bob's in the room.
Bob got up and he said, just remember, children, we have a show in 3 minutes. And then he walked out. All right. Hey, look. You know
what? I want to suck your blood.
I'm going to talk to you about romance on the river with my sweetheart here. Come on down to Wind River on November 6th.
I love you, hate you. That's a good song.
I know.
Let's learn it.
Join us for a fabulous night. Linda's going to be singing with her band down there on Romance in the River in the Elements Lounge at Wind River. I tell you what, if you were there last time, you would realize what a great time we had. And we expect, Mike, you to be here this time because election's over. It would be a good time to celebrate.
Ladybot and the Bluebirds. Let us soothe your soul.
Soothe your soul there. It goes from 7 to 9 on November the 4th. Or, I'm sorry, November the 6th. And get there a little bit early for dinner. They have a special menu. Romance in the River. Give them a call at 243-3377.
Ask for the Elements Lounge.
3377 and ask for Elements Lounge. That's right. Okay.
We're going to book it out again, so please.
All right. Michael DeQuisto.
First question.
All right. We've already asked first question about Measure A. Let's go right to Measure B. Do you support Measure B? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes on B. Why? Measure B, for people that may not know, is should they sell the land to the McConnell Foundation for Turtle Bay to build a hotel?
It'll take a little while to answer, but to try to cull through it all.
You've answered this question 1,000 times.
I have. When we moved here in 1994, the city was running Carter House and the Art Museum, and I believe there was one other museum, and those all came together in Turtle Bay. And everyone in the city loved it. It probably had a 98% approval rating at that time. You fast forward 20 years, and we have Turtle Bay, and everybody seems to love Turtle Bay. I don't hear in the arguments that we don't like Turtle Bay. I hear other issues. And what's happened in the 20 years is this now has become very divisive to the community. And after the election, win or lose, it will still be divisive. What I've found along the way, if you cull the different reasons why people oppose it, opposed B, and there's not just one reason. There's a number of reasons. If you cull it down and look at it, I believe that most of it is figured on distrust. They distrust the McConnell Foundation, or they distrust Mr. Warren, or some combination thereof. And as a result of that, they feel they want to vote no on Measure B. I still trust the McConnell Foundation. I believe they've done tremendous good for the community, and I believe they will continue to do tremendous good for the community. And so that's where I fall on that. Now, and the voters get to vote. But here's the practical side. If I'm on the council, it doesn't matter. Either it will pass or it won't pass, and there will be further action that will have to be undertaken. One way or the other. That's correct, because given the offer that Mr. Shuffleberger submitted and the fact that he's now extended it to November 7th,
What do you think about that, Mike? You know, I've heard – I've met Alan Shuffleberger maybe once or twice. We know his brother really well. In fact, he's listening right now. Shout out to other Al Shuffleberger. But everything I know about this man is that he's a businessman. He's a very astute businessman. The fact that he has made the offer and then he extended it is something that needs to be looked at. Now, I mean, did that put everybody into a quandary on the city council?
Well, I'm not on the council, but I expect it would have.
Yeah.
My initial reaction was when the first offer came in with a deadline of before the election, I thought to myself, it's a little strange why – and he is a businessman, and I understand that money's not the issue, that he's serious about the offer. Why did he wait until the very end to make it? But then when he extended the date and he proposes to do that and he says it's my wife and he and his wife are going to buy it.
It's not anybody else. It's just
no,
me and his wife. Yeah.
That's an interesting – wrinkle. And here's what's going to have to happen. If Measure B passes, the city council, I believe, still has to ratify the vote and affirm the contract. And the question will then be, because the property was never put up for auction, it was never offered to any public bidders as far as I know. They just got an offer and they accepted it. So they either do further negotiations with their Shuffleberger, that's a possibility, and say, what do you want to do? Because as I understand it, the purpose of the sale was to generate money to help Turtle Bay. That was the end result.
Well, the idea was, from what I understand, was when you sell the land, then that way they could build other things on there without going through this whole prevailing wage battle if the land was sold. And so the fact people keep saying, well, there's nothing in the sales agreement that says McConnell has to build a hotel. They were never going to build a hotel. They were just providing the land for Turtle Bay to build the hotel.
Well, but irrespective of who built it, the underlying purpose was to generate money to help keep Turtle Bay in business.
And it was not going to take care of all the bills for Turtle Bay.
No, it wasn't. But here's my point. If you just sell the property to Mr. Shuffleberger and there's no financial benefit to Turtle Bay, one choice the city can make is if Measure B doesn't pass is to say, why sell it at all?
Right.
We don't have to go – I mean, should they just sell it to make $1 million to sell it to Mr. Shuffleberger? I don't see where that's a benefit to the community.
And if and it still has all the it still has all the lease agreements on it. He can't go down and just build.
Well, it does. So the point of the question is it puts a huge wrinkle in there. Whatever the voters say, the voters say. And if I'm on the council and it hasn't been resolved by the time we take office, it's certainly one of the top issues that we'll have to look at and deal
okay.
with.
All right. Public safety. You've said since the beginning that you want to take money out of the reserve fund,
Reserves.
The reserves. And you want to take $1 million immediately out, and so you can start hiring CSOs and police.
That was the proposal that I made.
Right.
And I still believe that there is unassigned money in the general fund well above what the city is required to keep in its reserves. And by well above, I mean $5 to $10 million above. The amount of that money in cash will fluctuate each month, and there are other obligations. But the point of my proposal was to say, let's do something with this money. Let's allocate it for something. Let's not just hold it. If you want to say we'll allocate it for the ex-police officers whose grant's going to run out next year, that's a valid discussion to have. If you want to say let's allocate it for future pension payments to PERS, that's a fair discussion to have. What I took issue with is the fact that nobody brought it up, nobody discussed it, and the money is essentially what I call rat hold. And when you couple that with asking for more taxes now, I don't think that's right. I think that's a disservice to the citizens in the community. And there's one more part to it. I don't begrudge the increase in wages that were given to the city people. And from the general fund, it was about $200,000. And that's an ongoing basis. And clearly the city felt there was enough money in its reserve to do that. Why didn't they offer to hire two community service officers either instead of or in addition to that at the same time? It's not 10, it's not a million, but it's doing something.
250, would you say 200,000?
It was about 200,000 out of the general fund.
You could hire probably three community service officers for that.
Well, and nobody brought that up. Nobody suggested it. Nobody did anything with it. And I think right now that public safety and crime and getting more police officers and helping out Chief Paletti is the number one issue that needs to be dealt with and taken care of. And if I get on the council, that's the first thing that I'm going to try to bring up and have a serious discussion about.
One of our listeners has written in here, I wonder why they have to have full-time CSOs with benefits. It's not a sworn position. Why not have a part-time position in 4-hour blocks and have them on duty and swing shifts?
I made a proposal in the general fashion to say, what about this as a starting point for a discussion? I'm not the chief of police, and I would not presume to know how to run his department more efficiently. I would leave that up to him. So if Chief Paletti said, I'll hire 2.5 and we can do it this way, or 1.5 plus a regular police officer, that's something he could bring up to the council and explain why he wants it. And I can't imagine anybody would, if it's reasonable, would oppose it.
So then you also then no on F then. Is that right? F, the measure F is the raising of the sales tax 0.25.
So it's a quarter cent.
A quarter cent on every dollar.
And the idea would – the thought is that it would raise approximately $5 million a year for 6 years, I believe is the term frame. And that's correct. I have no on that. For the reasons that I just said, is that I think that there is some money available now that can be used. If that'll be another discussion that we'll have to have. If F doesn't pass, if F passes, then we have to have a discussion about how to allocate the money and what to do with that. If F doesn't pass, the crime situation is not going to be any better or any worse. It's going to be the same, and we'll have to have a discussion about what to do with that. All right, lots to talk about.
Yeah, lots to talk about. Henry, what do you want to talk about? You're live on KCNR.
Yeah, I'd like to go back and visit that sale of the city for just a moment if I can. I've been in the land business for almost 50 years, and I have made bids on land, bought land, sold land, and yet you see a man come up and offer $400,000 more than the next bidder, and the city attorney says we shouldn't consider that. Now, our city manager, whichever it was. Now, it seems to me like there's something wrong someplace. Somebody's in somebody's pocket when that happens. The next question I have is, why wasn't this property put up for bid with stipulations that there be certain things put on it or employ so many people by the successful bidder? Can you give me an answer to that?
Yes. I believe that what happened is that an offer was made to the city. Similar to Mr. Shuffleberger's offer, they came and said we're going to make an offer, and the city appointed, I think, Mayor Bassetti to a negotiating team, and I don't know if there was another council member as well, and they sat down and they negotiated an agreement and then came back to the city council and said this is the agreement that we negotiated. So it was a sale in a little bit unusual fashion because it was essentially an unsolicited offer, as I understand it, that came in. It was not like the city said, oh, this is surplus property. We want to get rid of it. We're going to put it on our list of surplus property to sell. So I believe that's how the process came down. And I don't think anywhere in there the city offered this land or this deal to anybody else out on the open market.
Well, wouldn't it be sensible for the city to put this up for auction with stipulations?
Well, that's certainly something the council can talk about depending on the result of B, and Mr. Shuffelberger's offer was extended to November 7th, so there's a lot of issues that the city can talk about.
If this was a bona fide offer, then it should be considered, not turned down arbitrarily.
I don't disagree with you on that. I suspect that Mr. Duvernay said he wasn't going to consider it at the beginning for essentially two reasons. One is there was an election that had already started, but two, the original offer had an end date that was before the election. So,
well, the election should not have any bearing on it particularly, as far as I'm concerned. I've made many bids on property, and it isn't unusual to wait till the 11th hour to do that, because that's good business.
I understand. I'm not saying it's good or bad business. I just found it to be unusual that he made it at that time. But it's certainly something the council is going to have to discuss.
Yeah. Hey, Henry, we have to run. We're on a break.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for your phone call.
Bye.
You bet. Okay. Yeah, we're here with Michael DeQuisto. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're talking B, and now we're going to move on to a couple other things on business and permitting and vision when we get back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Hi, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I have the skills and experience to collaborate and work with other council members to find effective solutions. I'll make sure our city is safe and maintain our infrastructure. As a business owner and elected school trustee for the past 16 years, I know how to make tough choices and balance budgets. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebach. Good morning. 8:34 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. Looks like it could be a nice day. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. That's 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com or hop in our chat room. Red, Angel, Sun Gold, Joe. Hop in, there's room for more. And our guest is Michael DeQuisto. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Great place for haircuts, of course. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold right there. It's the Cheers of Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue, right across from the subway. Michael, we've talked about measures A, B, F. No on A, yes on B, no on F, and
I've tried to explain why.
Illuminated why. And now let's go into businesses here in town. When we start talking businesses, the fact is that we had Bill Nagel on the other day talking about permits and how that process works, and the cost of permits and the cost of bringing in business. He said when there was a moratorium on fees, that the amount of building skyrocketed. I think he didn't say skyrocketed, but really jumped.
That would make sense.
But he says, but here's the bottom line on that. He says, yeah. He says, and there's money here, and you can get these taxes, but it doesn't pay for the infrastructure. It doesn't pay for the extra traffic. It doesn't pay for keeping our sewers and our sewage treatment plant going. All of that, all this money that comes in for that goes to doing all the infrastructure.
Everyone's entitled to his opinion.
Okay.
The increase in sales tax that they receive goes to the general fund because they have more people working, buying more things, construction workers buying product, paying sales tax. So the net dollar effect to the city is really what you have to look at, and that would be very hard to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice he doesn't say the net dollar effect to the city was up or down. What he says is we need this money for more improvements.
What he said was there's a lot of money. They calculate, I've got to go back and listen to the show, that there was money coming in, and he understood that. But he says it wasn't the level that they needed to, on a sustain the infrastructure repairs and improvements.
Well, clearly you need to pay some kind of impact fee when you have a building to fund those particular items. And the question is, how much do you have to pay and what's an appropriate amount to pay? There's another question, and that is, we live in a house off of Shasta View, and if you go on Shasta View, there's two portions of it next to two completed subdivisions where the road hasn't been widened. But I know good and darn well that there were impact fees paid in to have that road widened. And we've been there almost 20 years now, and it hasn't taken place. And I believe the city's statement on that is that it's in the list of projects to do, and we will do it as part of a bigger project sometime, so it will be done. But so if you look and say, well, these impact fees have been paid in, but where do they all go, and what do they do? Why hasn't a road been done for 20 years for a subdivision that's been completed for at least 10? So
that's a good question. And why do we have to do traffic studies that have already been done in a shopping center for everybody in there, and it's been done several times?
Well,
I'm just wondering.
I'm not trying to micromanage it, but I can certainly see where it may not be the most efficient program in the world, and the way the dollars are spent may not be the mm-hmm. best. As I recall, at one city council meeting, they allocated a portion of the traffic impact fees to pay for litigation expenses involving litigation with Mr. Levinson. Now, I'm not quite sure how traffic impact fees that are paid by somebody who builds a house in my neighborhood has anything to do with litigation with Mr. Levinson over the Oasis property or whatever's going on out there. I didn't get into the specifics of it. I don't know any more than that. But I do recall seeing that particular allocation, and it struck me as being unusual or different as opposed to using the money to build a road.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Recently, a lot of the people who have been, the theme of working together has been an oft-repeated theme throughout the campaign. But some of the people who have been speaking it the most have exhibited seem to have applied a rather curious definition to the term, a rather one-sided, one-way, you know, my way or the highway definition. For instance, you have one candidate for city council who only wants to provide copies of his, of certain, correspondence to media outlets that he, thinks are friendly to him. Then you have the, you have somebody who leads the Chamber of Commerce who compares political dissidents to hoodlums, and then you have Missy MacArthur's several acts of hypocrisy on the question. So it's real important the definition that is applied to the term working together, and I'd be interested for the purpose of the audience information to hear what definition Mr. DeQuisto would like to apply to that term.
Yeah. Well, so how would you work together? Okay, thanks a lot, Charles.
Thank you, Charles. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected on the city council, working together in my mind implies that you listen. You have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you speak. You consider what's said. You express your views thoughtfully and constructively, not in a negative manner if you can avoid it, and certainly not in a personal attack way. And you try to come to some group decision or resolution as best you can. But once that happens, you then move forward to the next issue, and you don't have it harbor or linger or sit there like an open wound where you say, well, I did this, but I'm still mad about it days and weeks and months and years later. And I think that's one of the important elements that appears to be not in it could be better in the current council, I think, the ability to make a decision and then move forward and not get into personal attacks and personal vitriol.
Would you say, though, that some of the people that are most famous for this are still on the council? I mean, the one that's gotten everybody's attention, Missy's Facebook and all this that's caused so much consternation, she's still on the council. It's not just the ones that are running that need to kind of take a deep breath and take a step away from all this acrimonious comments and everything.
The problem is when you get down in the mud and you start responding to things like that, then you can be accused of doing the same thing that the person who started it isn't. And I really don't want to go there. I do have my personal views about what has been said and what's happened, but my personal views really are not relevant. What's relevant is what's best for all the citizens and how can the council act together and move forward in a constructive, positive manner.
Agree to move forward, let things go.
Yes.
All right. Okay. You know, let's hope we can do that.
I hope we can.
Okay. REU makes has a large reserve.
They do.
The other day, a wounded veteran had his electricity turned off. He and his wife and his two kids. We talked about it. REU came on. That REU helped him, but the reason he's still in that house and has electricity turned back on is because veterans organizations provided some money to help him. It's tough for veterans to get a job out there. I think everybody agrees. Their unemployment rate is 17 to 25%. The lowest is 17, and the highest I've seen is 25%, depending on how you look at it. Would you be in favor of some kind of program that assists veterans, Purple Heart recipients who may have problems with having their electricity turned off?
I certainly would consider it.
Give $20,000, $20,000 raises to people over at REU.
Well, let me talk about a couple things. My understanding is that the reserve for REU is necessary for a different function and is calculated in a different way, and that for the financial standing of REU as among utilities, they need a substantially higher cash reserve than the city would need. And I think it has to do with the ability to purchase power or sell power and need lots of money in a quick fashion. So that's a separate issue. However, having said that, it would seem to me that I mean, I get my utility bill and it says, do you want to give some money to help a couple different people that can't pay their power bills? It has an option for that. I don't know why REU couldn't come with some kind of program to help and help with veterans. And I do have – there is an idea that I've had for a while, and this is a way that REU can help with the crime problem. When I walk my dog in the morning, 20% of the houses have lights on and it's dark, and 80% don't. If everybody turned their house lights on, it would help. It wouldn't stop the crime problem, but it would help. Somebody goes by a house and they go, well, I don't want to go in that house because they got the lights on there. How much extra would that cost to run for 30 days to run a 30-watt light bulb in your front, you know, light for that? The answer is not very much. And REU could offer a program in which they give credits. And if you don't even want to check on the houses, you could just give a credit across the board and call it Lights On Reading. And a program like that. Chief Paletti has said they tried that in Stockton, and it helps. There are areas where when the lights come on and people have them on, that there's less crime in those areas. So maybe a program like that could be looked at and said, hey, what if – and that's a way for REU to contribute. And you can't tell me the minimal cost is not something they could afford or find a way to pay. It's an idea.
Okay. Would you vote for raises of that proportion for city workers? In this case, I think it was up to $20,000, $15,000 to $20,000 a year.
For the raises they just passed?
Yeah.
As I said earlier, I suspect that I either would have voted to have that money go to police and not to
the
raises.
That's the general fund. I'm talking about REU.
Oh, the REU money.
The REU got – I mean, the rest of it came through REU and their fund.
For the REU money, that's an interesting question. They have vacancies, and they've had them for a long time, and it seems to me that there's two principal reasons why they have vacancy. One could be money, and if you're not paying enough, the people aren't applying. That you should be able to decide relatively quickly, and when you offer more money, it shouldn't take that long to get the people in. There could be another problem, and it could be – and I don't know. It could be a reputation issue. There could be people that say in the industry, you don't want to go work for REU because of X. I don't know the answer to that. But it would seem to me if you're going to give a – well, there's raises to the people who are there, but then there's also unfunded positions that if you want to get the people in there to fill the positions, you offer more money for the positions. Try it for 6 months, and if it doesn't work, try something else to get the people in there. So the REU is a little different animal than the money from the general fund because they get it from the ratepayers, and they probably have more ability to fund the raises than the general fund does, more ability to get the money from the ratepayers and pay it out that way.
But sure, certainly, because they can just do it.
Well, because they do it. But the bigger question is, why are there the vacancies? And the other question is, before you give somebody a raise, if people are leaving because the money they get in the job is not enough, that's one thing. Then you go, well, it's pretty clear we're not paying enough money. If people are not leaving, then it seems to me that they're still happy with what they're getting for the job because you assume each person makes the choice that he or she finds most beneficial to their status. And if they're not leaving, part of me says, well, what are you giving a raise for? I work for myself. I don't get a raise just because. I get a raise if I work harder and do a better job or get more clients. You shouldn't get a raise
just cause and effect just because you're there.
Well, you shouldn't get a raise just because you breathe.
All right. Okay, we've got to take a break. Our guest, Michael DeQuisto. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones. And it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Trust. Follow through. Integrity. These are words voters are using to describe Assemblyman Brian Daly.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
Our voice counts with Brian. Our votes count with Brian. He will represent us.
Because of Brian's leadership in the state assembly, he's received a 100% rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Brian helped pass legislation to support rural schools, and he worked hard to pass a bill that reduces wildfire hazard while putting people back to work in our forests. That's called leadership.
He will do what he says he's going to do.
He's a guy that you can trust every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to work relentlessly hard.
The choice is clear. Send a farmer, a leader with North State common sense values, back to Sacramento.
reelect Brian Daly to the California Assembly.
I will vote for Brian Daly.
I'm voting for Brian Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Daly for Assembly, 2014.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
This is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, DeKine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it's Monday, October the 27th. 54 degrees out there. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. And this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. Our friends there at Four Winds Jewelry have the best selection of estate jewelry that you're ever going to find. Leonard is absolutely fabulous when it comes to his selection of jewelry and his prices on jewelry. Plus, the only trained watch repairman in all of this area is all at Four Winds Jewelry. And also, Leonard is one of the people that's also helped support Liberty on the Border, as has Michael DeQuisto here. The Civil War exhibit down at Turtle Bay's got nothing to do with politics. The fact is that if we want to have exhibits and we want to support Turtle Bay, this is a good way of doing it. And we support the cost of the exhibits. And that's what we're doing. This is the first time Linda and I have done this. And we thought that this was a good idea.
We pledged a certain figure and then have put the word out to our listeners to bring us checks of to whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. This is helping us to be a voice in the fact that these exhibits cost money to bring. And let's not forget the Turtle Bay is not funded except by donations. So we donations think that's really grants, important. Right. In fact, there was a really good letter to the editor this weekend about a lady who said that when she was with the doctor's group and doctor wives to say, you know, okay, it's not about Costco. This is about what museums, what educational aspects do you have for our family and our children? And it came down to, well, hello, museums and Turtle Bay.
People wanting to move here, yeah.
Well, we offered a contribution for that exhibit because I think the exhibit's important. And you need money to go do it. And you asked me, Carl, and I was more than happy to do it. I think it's a good idea.
And it is. And it's and it's got nothing to do with politics. We completely,
totally irrelevant.
Completely irrelevant to it.
Not a bad day, though.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Mike, let's go on here. Business. I've heard that Stillwater's got some nibbles, but we've heard that before.
Well, the city owns Stillwater, and I'm not in favor of just giving it away or forgetting about it or closing it down or doing any of that. I think you take what you have and do the best you can with it. I've spoken to Mark LaSalle, and I know Mark fairly well, and he's the director of the Economic Development Corporation. And he has been tasked with the EDC has been tasked with sort of overseeing the new broker that they hired 6 months or a year ago to market the property. And I understand, and Mark has said in public, that there are about a month ago, he said there were three companies that were looking. And this is not just, oh, what is it? When he says looking, you're down to a list of two or three or four choices that company's looking at. And they would range in job creation from maybe a couple hundred to over 1,000. So they're very significant people. And Mark has been involved in this for a long time. And what he said is, we're seeing activity out there like we haven't seen in years and years and years. Now, that's good. The downside is somebody doesn't come buy it and build a house or a business in 6 months. It's a couple-year process to go through it and for them to decide the companies, whoever they are, to do their own internals and decide what they want to go and do. So you need patience. But I'm very hopeful. I think that will come in. And here's the benefit. If that comes in, you'll get building fees. You'll get impact fees. You'll get new workers who will come to town. You'll get jobs for citizens here or for people that move in. And those people will spend the money they get, their wages. And when you spend money, there's a multiplying factor of one or two or three times what you spend. And that will increase sales tax revenue to the city. It will increase property tax revenue if these people buy houses. It may increase transient occupancy tax if they stay in motels for a certain time period. And none of that money is included in any of the future budget projections. So if we hit something out there and get somebody in here, it's going to be a win-win-win all the way around for everybody.
The people that are selling the property, there is a team that the city pays. Is this correct?
Well, they get a commission if they sell the people. They don't pay them out of their pocket.
All right. Now, this team has been working for how long?
This new team, I want to say 6 months or less.
All right. Now,
they've been in the business a long time, right. But on this property, only a few months.
So after another 6 months, if nothing happens, is it time to take a look at them and bring somebody else in? Or is this a 2 or 3 year project we just let them try and work at?
I'd say it depends how long the listing agreement is for that you signed with them.
I understand that. But the city has the right to say, hey, look, nothing's happened in a year.
Correct. I would suspect that a year would be a fair time to say what's going on. I also believe that Mark LaSalle has kept certainly Mr. Starman in the loop as to what's happening, and there may be discussions in private among people at the city over what's been happening. So that it's certainly fair to look at it and say, what are you guys doing? If they're doing a good job and you think they're doing a good job, then you extend it or you say everything's fine, you don't cancel it. If they're doing better than the other guys, then I think that's a good idea. Let me just say one other thing in the job area. We started an angel investor group here in town about a year and a half ago, and we've had over 50 companies present to us with ideas for startups of one form or another. Some are manufacturing, some are software, some are medical devices. There's one in Dunsmuir that does fire mapping. It's phenomenal, and we've made a couple of investments. And I believe that those startup companies, one or two or three will hit – and take off. And that's where you may get another Stillwater tenant or you'll get good paying jobs here in Reading. It's a long, slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. But you're not going to get a big manufacturing company come in here. If you pin your hopes on that, that's really not very smart. But if you look at these smaller companies, I'm fascinated by it. And I see that as the wave of the future. These guys start these companies and they don't care about the taxes in California. They don't care about the federal income taxes. They don't care about the regulations. They say, we've got a great idea and we're going to kick some you know what and make a lot of money. Help us out. Let's go forward. And that's where you're going to get some growth and some development here in town.
Okay. Well, our guest has been Michael DeQuisto here on KCNR on this Monday morning. This is probably the last time, Michael. We have about 4 minutes left that you'll be on the air before the big vote November 4th, and we encourage everybody to come out. So let's just talk about vision, encapsulate.
Let me just say one thing. I appreciate coming on. Hopefully, if I come on again, I'll be on a city council member. If I'm not a city council member, I'm not sure you want to have me on.
Yeah, you're always good to have on.
Yeah, you know, Michael.
But I do appreciate it very much. So let's talk about why should people vote for me and what's important in a council candidate. I think there are two things. One is the vision. And the vision is, where is the city going? Where is it going in 3 months, 6 months? But more importantly, where is it going in a year or 2 years or 5 years? Where would you like to see it go? There's going to be Sacramento Riverfront development that needs to come up and be discussed. We haven't even gotten to that part. That's certainly that's going to happen. The question on the AB 109 and the crime, where do we want to be in 5 years? We know where we want to be. How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? Business development, where are we going to be on that? And educational opportunities to the extent the city can encourage those or enforce those. So you need somebody who's going to look for that and not just look around at the past problems. And I think I can do that. I've been here 20 years, and I have some community involvement that's been involved in those things. The second aspect that you need for a council person is someone who can cooperate and get along with others, who will listen more than they speak, who will think about things rationally and intelligently, and won't hold personal grudges or get down in the mud over things you shouldn't be. And that's really what the citizens deserve. I've been a lawyer for 35 years. I've been a bankruptcy trustee. I see people in conflict all the time, and I've resolved thousands of those situations and helped people get through it. It's not always easy. It may not always be pretty, but generally speaking, it works, and people appreciate that. But what I've seen most is people want to be heard. They want to feel like they're being listened to. And whether you agree with them or disagree with them, if you give them a thoughtful answer and explain why you're doing it, they're very receptive and happy. And the last thing is votedequisto.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Mike DeQuisto has been our guest today. This week we're going to have Brent Weaver, Kristen Schrader, and Patrick Jones next week, and, of course, Michael Quinn on Friday. So make sure you do get out to vote. Tomorrow we're going to have the city councils from Anderson, Haven Humane, and a couple other surprises for tomorrow. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. She cared for Ebola patients in West Africa and was quarantined upon her return to the U.S. Well, now, nurse Casey Hickox is being released by New Jersey officials who say that she's been symptom-free for 24 hours. Originally, Hickox was supposed to stay in isolation for 21 days, but she hired a lawyer and threatened to sue. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo says that a three-week quarantine really is no big deal.
People can have people visit. They can be with their family. They can be with their friends. They can be with their girlfriends. You know, it's not like this is the toughest duty on these 21 days.
But the White House begs to differ.
State leaders in New York and New Jersey support 21-day quarantines for medical workers returning from West Africa. However, the Obama administration and the nation's top infectious disease expert warn that such restrictions are...